Follow us. Battle cry. Do you have a battle cry? Do you have an alias?
Oh, crap.
You already did Bruce Wine. Bruce Fine Wine.
I've done a lot that have been Al, because Alfred is not funny.
Alfred Osas. That's why I'm not in charge of these.
Well, I've got Phil
Iron Manatee. All right.
Welcome to
the Fantastic
Justice Squad. Super Bondo
Brother.
Friends.
The review stuff.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of our show. We're in episode 23 now. Can you believe it?
Since last episode was 22. Did not see that coming.
Well, not everyone has my clairvoyance. That's okay.
Or math. Not everyone has math. Well,
I'm teaching a toddler math right now, so I might have an edge over you.
I've got a Shih Tzu downstairs who's going, what?
Oh, man. Naomi made it into the 30s counting today. I was like, wow.
Oh, and then what?
Yeah. I don't know. She got close to my age. I started crying. That kind of ended things really quickly. I'm your host, Sancho Panda. With me as always, Secret Alias Man. What's your alias today?
Today, my alias is Phil Goodfactor.
Oh, I think that's very appropriate.
Yay!
We're talking Lego Batman.
Yeah!
This should be a fun time. But before we get to that, we have other things to do first. We have a laundry list of things.
I've got some socks.
Yes.
I used to have a dog named Dobby. And...
Did you give him a sock?
Yes, because...
Did he run away?
Because he was a foster. He was getting on in years, so we were really sort of the home that he could stay to end his life with some love.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a hard time standing up, and we have wood floors, and so he kept slipping.
Oh my gosh.
In this sort of whatever that Olympic sport is where you use the broom and you push things across the ice kind of a way.
I think you're referring to curling, maybe?
Sure, a word that doesn't look like what you're doing. So, so we bought him these grippy socks.
Mm-hmm.
And so my wife is putting them on his feet, and I said, you realize what's happening right now, right? So, yeah.
Dobby is free! And he just ran away.
Yeah, he got up and cashed out his IRA, and we really never saw him again. Although he, I think, had a nice end on a beach.
Very comfortable.
Mm-hmm. You know, not Rogue One nice, but, you know, kind of nice.
About as close to Rogue One as you can get.
Not Planet of the Apes. But still, it was scenic.
As deaths on the beach go, it was definitely one of the better ones.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, Saving Private Ryan.
Oh. All
right.
So.
So. Yeah, go ahead.
You know how I like to make things?
Yes.
So I made a thing.
Ooh.
Because our sponsor, who loves us, I wanted to sort of give some love back. So I wrote a jingle for comicbookframe.com because I really like these guys.
Sweet. Let's hear it.
That's the name. Slide your book in and then display. Do it once, you'll do it again. What's that name? Comicbookframe.com.
.com.
Buble. Yeah.
That looks like more of a Harry Connick Jr. vibe.
Oh, I'll take it. Thank you, Simon.
Yes, that was a critique.
So,
a compliment.
So, I have comicbookframe.com news.
Ooh.
Okay, two bits of news. One, it's singular. It's comicbookframe.com.
Oh, I feel like I might have messed that up. I'm not going to listen back to see if I did.
And two, this week, in honor of that awesome jingle, we have a giveaway.
Yay!
So, one of our lucky listeners will win a free frame from comicbookframe.com.
Yes. Hopefully one who has comics.
That is the point of this giveaway. All you have to do is go to our Facebook page on Facebook at FanBroFriends and send us a picture of your treasured comic that you would like to put in a frame, and you could win a free frame from comicbookframe.com.
Garrick Hardy, now's your chance to send us a picture of Dr. Aphra, Volume 1.
Yeah.
Issue 1.
And we don't judge on taste. This is sort of like Cards Against Humanity. You could win, like...
Right. Well, that's really, really cool of our sponsor to be doing that.
Almost as cool as our next topic.
Which is?
It's hard to tell, because right now all I'm seeing is a dark screen. All good topics begin with a dark screen and a voiceover.
Even the Oscars, Hawk?
Oh, yeah, the Oscars.
So, Oscars happened.
That is a sentence that is true.
And I thought that living in a world where Trump was president was going to be, like, the most surreal thing that ever happened to me. But no. We now live in a world where Suicide Squad has an Oscar.
Yeah. From now on, when you buy a DVD of Suicide Squad, it's going to have a sticker that says, Academy Award winner.
I feel sad for whoever just, like, got sent a bunch of stickers and has to hunt down all the copies in their warehouse. It was the one for makeup?
Which was odd, because in the world of science fiction, there were other movies that had aliens and stuff with makeup, and I couldn't believe that Suicide Squad won.
Well, who did they beat out of note?
Well, Star Trek Beyond, for one.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the girl with the snail on her head that Chekhov was hitting on?
Do I? We all have our thing.
And, you know, Jayla.
Yeah.
Black and white, never smeared.
And Idris Elba's character, he kind of had a Killer Croc thing going on about him, except with good dialogue. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was confused because just based on the ballots, I thought Rogue won.
Rogue One didn't get anything, did it?
I thought Rogue won.
Yeah, I heard you. Okay. I don't have to laugh at everything. Sometimes the audience is laughing, and that should be enough.
I can type it out. It works visually.
Anyways, I was looking at the Oscar results for one reason and one reason only, and I was really, really disappointed to see that even though I love the other movie, Zootopia, it beat out Kubo and the Two Strings for Best Animated Feature Film.
Yeah.
I don't know. Can you see it? Can you talk me into the logic of accepting this? Or am I being unreasonable by saying it should have been Kubo, hands down?
It depends if you're judging something on a cinematic achievement or by other criteria. Because as a cinematic achievement, Kubo should have won.
Yes. Agreed. As bringing us something unique and different.
Right.
I think Kubo should have won.
But sometimes things that are great cinematic achievements sometimes come across a little exclusionary. Not everyone can relate to it.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe it was too not relatable because of how cultural it was.
Right. And so sometimes it's the subject matter. Zootopia, I think, was meant to be universal. That was its message of unity and acceptance. And so it was a different type of story.
It was great, but definitely the more generic of the two, so I'm still upset. See, what I thought was going to happen was, you remember how Peter Jackson got all of those Oscars for Return of the King, and it wasn't that they were really for Return of the King, it was for his whole body of work.
He got all the Oscars?
All of them. Don't you remember Billy Crystal, close to the end, he was like, this just in, there's no one left in New Zealand to thank.
He got Oscar Mayer?
Yes.
Oscar the Grouch?
Yes.
Oscar from The Odd Couple?
Oscar de la Hoya, Oscar from The Office.
That's all of them.
They got all the Oscars. That's it.
It's very strong.
Yeah. I thought that for Laika, you know, after all of the other great works that they'd done, it would be like, okay, we finally have to recognize how awesome you are.
Right.
Here's your award.
Right.
And then it would have led to more sales and... All right.
Well, and it's not to say that that won't still happen.
Yeah, because tons of people listen to our podcast. I meant tens. Tens of people listen to our podcast.
Yes.
If you haven't supported Kubo yet, man, check it out. It's so worth it. It's so good.
I was going to say, back up the truck for all of our listeners, but I've explained before, we can't do that to people. That's called human trafficking, and that's wrong. We've talked about this.
We do live in Texas.
That's true. We could drive for days and still not cross the state line. Can't touch us, coppers.
You didn't say that right. You can't touch us, coppers. Wait, that doesn't sound Texan. Well, I'm a Yankee, so it all balances out.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was the therapy I needed. I just needed to vent and talk that out.
Well, this has been Oscar Talk.
Talk amongst yourselves. All right, so let's go ahead and go on to our next topic. Wait, what's going on here? I can't see anything.
That's because it's a dark screen. All the best topics start with a dark screen and a voiceover.
As long as people listening on their phones actually have their phone screens off right now.
Turn your phone screen off.
Stop texting and tweeting while you're listening to our podcast. That's lazy and disrespectful.
Okay.
Now you have a dark screen.
So, I have to say that I thoroughly enjoyed this movie.
Lego Batman was a good movie.
It was a good movie. Who would have thought, however many years ago, when one guy was sitting around saying, you know, when I stack blocks, they keep sliding off each other? I bet if I put little pegs on them, they wouldn't slide off. And now, that guy is directly responsible for one of the best Batman stories we have ever had.
I wonder how much he gets in royalties, that guy, if he's still alive.
I don't know, but Batman is cool again.
Yeah. Did he really get uncool?
Oh, yeah, fairly recently.
I thought in BVS at least people kind of liked Batman in general, even if he was murdering.
Well, I mean, define uncool. Is being a mass murderer maybe not the best?
Well, raised with Judeo-Christian values, I'd have to say.
Or
it's definitely not the best.
Not even just those. most
decent people everywhere.
I know plenty of small animals who would still agree. There are some squirrels in my neighborhood, particularly when we go for walks in the morning, that would back up my philosophy.
Killing lots of people is bad.
Although,
maybe
he just prefers the term action orphan.
So we want to start with superpowers and Achilles heels for this movie?
Yeah.
All right, you can go first.
I was really struck by the amount of warmth and humanity that this movie was able to convey from cold, plastic non-humans.
When you put it that way.
if you think about how you related to everything that they were doing as a fun little play, I got more out of this than I did from many of the live-action treatments of this character that have been done.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that what amounts to a kid putting on a show for you while you sit on the couch and he's on the floor and he's going, and now this guy does this, and now this guy does that, could be so heartwarming was just a joy.
Yeah.
And the way that they had the Batman character basically being a petulant child was a genius move, because that makes him totally relatable to kids.
Right, yeah.
So
exactly.
The scene where Alfred is telling him to do something and he just is throwing his body on the floor going, no, 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 no. It's like, that's when Alfred looks at him and goes, sir, you're being more like a brat man. What? Oh, nothing, sir. So the fact that they made that direct one-to-one connection with children, and at the same time as an adult, you're watching this going, okay, that's really funny, because you are exploring how it is that he's able to be so selfish, but you're using it as he's coming from the place of a child. So it's just brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. And it honestly, it's how most of us would act a lot of the time when we're, you know, told to do things on the job. But we have filters now that tell us, hey, people will laugh at you and hate you if you do this.
Yeah. All right. I challenge you to give me a weakness.
The pacing. I felt like at times the pacing was a little jarring. Like in going from an action moment to a slow moment and back and forth. I mean, it is a kid's movie. It's done with Legos. And so you can't ask everything of a movie. But it didn't have the same type of flow to it that you get from most well-polished movies, even kids' movies, like a Pixar movie.
There was one place where I did notice that, that it seemed to sort of slow down, and almost threw me into the front seat. It slowed down so quickly.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a seatbelt. Is
because Batman doesn't wear seatbelts.
And so, as I was thinking that, though, it quickly righted itself, and you understood why it slowed down, and then I was okay again. But yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yay, I found one weakness. That's my superpower.
But again, I would be curious if, with the attention span of a child, if a child felt the same way about that.
Yeah, probably not. There were a couple kids in the audience of the theater I saw it at that when it was like dull for the point of being dull to show what Batman's like when he's alone, mm-hmm. some of them got a little fidgety. But I think, yeah, the quick-pacedness was definitely more to meet their attention span than my finer tastes of cinema. I said that with my pinky up. So back to superpowers.
So another strength. The respect of the source material, where you could feel in every frame the love of these characters.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they had no problems poking fun at the things that everyone thinks about, but no one actually has the wit to put in a context like these guys did.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
totally agree.
Like all the best comedians, you can take on issues by making jokes about them. And this film does exactly that. You know, it takes on the issue of why does Batman push everyone away? Why is he this way? Why is he that way? And so that was really well done.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, at the same time, taking on the meta issues of why is DC not doing so well right now?
Yeah. But all of the throwbacks, I mean, I really think that before you see this movie, you should go back in time and just be born in the 1960s.
Yeah, we don't ask a lot of you listeners, but maybe just this once we do. I mean, it's not a time machine request anymore. We're actually asking you to change when you were born.
Yeah. I mean, I loved seeing the classic villains, you know. Egghead showed up. King Tut.
Was Condiment Man a real
one? That's Condiment King, sir. And yeah, yes, he is from the animated series.
Oh, man.
And then I believe later they brought him into the books.
You're just making these up now, aren't you? All these villains.
Yeah. Did you catch that Captain Boomerang was in there?
Yeah. Did I catch?
Yeah. Batman just kicks him in the head.
As he dispatches with most of them that way. All right. So when I was thinking about that, what it made me realize was there aren't that many movies out there, and I consider these a very high level of comedy, where you parody something while still doing justice to it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lego Batman, and the only other ones I can think of now are Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz.
Oh, good point.
Like, movies where it's doing the theme, but it's also making fun of it at the same time, and it's winking at you at the tropes, but it's still honoring them.
Oh, wait, I've got one.
Okay.
Galaxy Quest.
Yes! Another perfect example.
Young Frankenstein.
Young Frankenstein. No. I'm just kidding.
Aw, through the power of editing, that was obliviated.
Oh, we're editing? Well, let's just stop and think of as many more as we can now.
No.
Hmm.
So I have to say, I did love some of the tiny little touches that, like I said, if you were born in the 60s or if you're even aware of some of the early versions of some of these characters, there were these little throwaway Easter eggs that were there.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, when Batman goes to Superman's Fortress of Solitude and he rings the doorbell and
yeah.
It's the John Williams Superman theme.
That's so great. Yeah, and did you catch that whenever the action was actually the most intense, the score that they were using was very similar to Christopher Nolan's score in all of his Batman movies.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, hey, nice. I do have another one for my Achilles heel, but I want to deal with that one when we play Catch the Tomatoes.
Okay.
So, but before we get into that, I wanted your take on the voice acting.
Oh, I loved the voice acting.
It was great, right?
Yes. And I was going to ask you what you thought of the voice of Sauron.
Who was the voice of Sauron?
Oh, you don't know.
Well, I didn't look at the IMDb.
So, first of all, the in-joke is that the voice of Alfred is Ralph Fiennes.
Right.
So to have the Lego Sauron in the same movie as Voldemort, and then have Voldemort be played by a person who isn't Ralph Fiennes, it's like everybody just moves over one.
Yeah, I thought I was really confused by that. It's like, you've got Ralph Fiennes in the movie, as Alfred. You can't have him just do a Voldemort on the side. It has to be Eddie Izzard.
Yes. Because Eddie Izzard.
Because Eddie Izzard. Because Rock Dog.
Yes.
So who was Sauron?
So Sauron, to you, the world's biggest Lord of the Rings fan, who better to get than your world's favorite Flight of the Conchord guy?
Oh, really?
It's Jermaine Clemens.
That's great, because he's from New Zealand.
Where they filmed?
Eaters of the Dead? That's where, that's where Peter Jackson filmed Eaters of the Dead.
Slightly annoyed Max. All this stuff was in New Zealand.
Prince of the Pummel Horse? Is that what it is? Squire of the High Bar. Gosh, I'm so close. What is it?
Why is all this stuff filmed in New Zealand? What was wrong with old Zealand?
Yeah. It's ageism is what it is. I want to make Squire of the High Bar now.
I don't even know what that means.
Because Lord of the Rings. So,
oh,
oh man, that was like two great jokes I had. You weren't even on the same plane.
Sorry, I was just being polite, waiting for you to finish so I could make my old Zealand joke.
Not very kind of you. Anyways, any other superpowers you want to talk about before we play Catch the Tomatoes?
Yeah, I'm ready for some tomatoes.
All right. So once again, we do this whenever we like a movie, and there's just people who, for some reason or another, are trying to be a stick in the mud. Lego Batman is at 91% on Rotten Tomatoes, with 193 fresh and 19 rotten tomatoes. So,
it's like the last 20 minutes of the market. You got 19 rotten tomatoes.
Yeah, so you gotta go early. So, the first one is a review from Time Magazine. And it says, after a kick-A opening, the picture devolves into action, action, plot, action, plot, action, monotone. Where have all the gags gone? Question mark.
There were gags. There were lots of gags.
That's what I was wondering. Like, what did they mean by gags?
I think he means rum. He might have been making a different complaint.
Or maybe if you're not a comic book fan, then you're not catching most of the gags, like they're so Easter eggy.
Yes.
That you're just missing it. So
I totally disagree that there weren't gags. I mean, they were rapid fire and they were consistent. And I think you're right. You just had to, I mean, to understand a gag, you have to understand the setup, and this reviewer may not have understood the setups.
Yeah, that's probably it. Like, one that I'll mention because it's not even Batman related, but at one point there's all these gremlins, like, tearing apart the wing of a plane. Mm-hmm. And you're like, that's straight from Twilight Zone.
Yes, it is.
And they even said it in such a way where you'd realize that. And it's just so random that it just got one of those spontaneous, ha, out of me. So, well played there.
Or, you know, even when Batman says, you want to get nuts, and then his little screen, that's one of his responses, is, let's get nuts.
Almost like Terminator picking which way he's going to cuss out somebody.
Right. So you would have to be very familiar with the 1989 Michael Keaton version to know that for Batman to choose out of his options, let's get nuts. That's very funny.
Tomato cut. Number two. This one's from Michelle Alexandria of Eclipse Magazine. It says, starts off with great, solid humor, but somewhere along the line it becomes stale, repetitive, and annoying. Batman isn't some emo wannabe beatboxer who is in love with Barbara Gordon.
According to who, he's not that.
It's like, that's just one of those purists. No, that's not my Batman.
The real Batman wouldn't do that. It's like that scene from Stand By Me when they're walking down the railroad tracks. Uh-huh. And Donatello turns to the guy from Sliders and says, hey, who do you think would win in a fight, Superman or Mighty Mouse?
It's a great question.
And the other kid goes, well, that's a stupid question because Mighty Mouse is a cartoon, but Superman's a real guy.
So, I mean, again, but it goes back to they're trying to relate something to kids. And if you're saying Batman isn't an emo, he's not an emu, first of all.
He's not Tebow.
No. But if you're saying he's not these things, then you're criticizing them for putting it on a child's level and in an adorable and endearing way. So Boo.
I would like to know what that reviewer did expect.
I think more murders. I think a car didn't slam into people and... I don't know. All right, next one. Next review. This one's from Gene Chaplin of Chaplin versus Chaplin. Is that like Kramer versus Kramer? No, Kramer versus Seinfeld. I don't know what's going on there.
Chaplin versus Chaplin. Chaplin doesn't have a prayer.
Always bet on Chaplin. So, this one says, what should have been a delightful romp with Arnett's cleverly self-styled Batman, an arrogant loner with a uniquely raspy voice, has turned into a too long and ultimately dull statement on the virtue of friends and family.
All right, I disagree with that, and here's why. Because the thing that I liked about the way they showed this Batman's character growth is that he didn't learn his lesson the first time, or even the second time, or even the third time.
Like a child.
Like a child. So the length of the time that it took for him to finally come to this new way of deciding how to handle his life and his relationships is more realistic, because at first he resisted, and then he resisted again, and then he made a poor choice, and then he still didn't want to, and then ultimately that's how things are.
Right. And there was a kid in the audience who, at one point in the movie, something happened, and the kid said out loud, "Oh, that's because..." And it was clear that the point was being driven home because of the repetition, which is what kids and also adults usually need to really learn a lesson.
Yes, Zack Snyder. I mean, I agree. It takes many, many failures sometimes.
He'll come out with a good movie someday. I'm still waiting for the sequel to Sucker Punch. Wait, aren't they all dead?
Yeah, it's Chaplin versus Chaplin.
But that does bring up what I think could be considered the Achilles heel by some. And it kind of was for me, and kind of wasn't, because I wasn't sitting there with a kid watching it. So without, like, having to point to look at my kid and see how they're impacted, I could see how they could find a dullness to the fact that many times when they're stating the values in this movie, it's very, very overt. It's not nuanced. Mm-hmm. It's like just flat for a kid, like, why do you not trust us? Maybe you can word that better than I am. What am I trying to say?
What you're trying to say is because Batman is behaving like a child, the adults around him have to simplify their message to reach him, because he's blocking every other attempt, so they have to speak to him in those simple terms.
Yeah. Why are you pushing us away? Which, if that line was used in a live-action featured movie, we would be rolling our eyes at how cheesy it was.
Right.
But it's not. So I call it an Achilles heel, but only for those who are not just accepting the medium and the main audience, which is the kids. So.
And that's, again, why I think the genius of that we're watching Little Plastic Figures enact this play, because if that can help you get into the mindset of a child and see this movie from that vantage point, then all of this makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, you went to see a Lego movie.
Yeah.
What were you expecting? Manchester by the Sea? All right, we got one more. This is from RogerEbert.com, although he's not the one who did the review.
Oh boy.
It soon becomes apparent that not everything is quite as awesome this time around.
No reason, just because?
Well, I mean, there's a longer part. That was the quote that was pulled. But I actually have a written response to this one. Right?
All right.
So, because of the not everything is quite as awesome this time around, like how obvious that is, I said, congratulations, Susan. You wrote the most obvious line in movie critic history. Your work will be added to the annals containing such great one-liners as "the force is not strong with this one" and "the magic is missing from this Potter film." And let's not forget the immortal words of Willy Waffle. Hokey malarkey.
This movie left me as cold as leftover lobster thermidor.
All right. We made it through. Do you want to do our panda ratings and then get into spoiler talk?
Yes. I need to have a graphic of all of my pandas clapping.
And there it is. It's a podcast. You guys don't know. It's right there on my computer screen with no sound. It's a GIF.
All right. Do you want to go first this time?
No, go right ahead.
All right. I have to say that this is the first film since Civil War that immediately after seeing it, I wanted to walk out, pretend to go somewhere just long enough for the next showing to start, and then sneak back in. I have not enjoyed a movie this much and had this good of a time in quite some time. So I am giving it a full 5 happy, happy pandas.
That's awesome.
I think it's a remarkable achievement, especially considering the bar that the Lego movie itself set.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with everything you say, but as I've said before, I don't know why I have to look the downside. And the pacing issue was a bigger issue for me than for you, perhaps. And I think even though the dialogue did become really overt, I think they could have made it a bit more clever. So I think it could have been better. If I'm asking myself, is this the best it could have been? So I'm giving it 3.5 smiling pandas, which is a 7.5 out of 10. No, 8.5 out of 10. Because I can math. The half one was karate chopped by Batman.
No, we don't need an unsupervised man karate chopping poor people in a Halloween costume.
Oh, man, he picked the wrong occupation then. All right, it's time for spoiler talks. Cue music. Spoilers! I say we start with, what was your favorite Easter egg? Because there were so many. Which one did you think of as your golden goose egg?
The one that I think truly enjoyed because I felt like it was made for me, a child of the 60s and 70s, mm-hmm. is when they're at the Fortress of Solitude and Superman's having this big party to celebrate the 57th anniversary of the Justice League.
Which is oddly accurate.
And he invited everyone but Batman.
Yeah.
And when I say everyone but Batman, I mean he invited D-listers.
The Wonder Twins.
And Gleek.
Yes.
The monkey was doing some breakdancing thing. And I think Aquaman also was spinning on his head.
Yes. Yeah.
So Aquaman, the one who, especially in Robot Chicken, was always much maligned as the hero no one wants to have as part of the team.
Aquaman sucks.
The director of Robot Chicken directed this, and he's got Aquaman, like, front and center, the star of the dance floor at this party. So that worked for me on so many levels. Also at this party, in attendance, were Black Vulcan, Apache Chief, El Dorado. These are people who may have been on one episode of Super Friends.
Right,
and they're at
right.
the party.
Yes.
Wonder Dog is the DJ. So just to look around the room and see who was there, everyone but Batman. Oh, man, I felt like they did that for me.
That scene was awesome. For me, my favorite Easter egg, and this gets a little more sentimental. The first time you gave me a comic book for Christmas as opposed to some other type of toy. Do you remember what you gave me?
I remember the mean ones.
What's that mean?
I remember I gave you a used mouse.
That's because I gave it to you first.
Well.
Hey, what's a 5-year-old going to do? Look around his room.
I'm sure I gave you a Batman.
It was The Dark Knight Returns, the volume 1 graphic novel.
Yeah.
With him doing that awesome karate pose in the air and the blue sky background with lightning.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, even though the context wasn't the same and you could say it didn't fit, when they made that exact same background while Alfred is falling from that bat wing,
mm-hmm.
it's like, no! And then there's that lightning and that screen, like, it just brought it all back for me. I was like, oh, that's just so awesome. Like,
yeah.
Paying homage to a cover just because you can. That was my favorite one.
Aw, that's awesome. Hey, so speaking of the Dark Knight books, mm-hmm. did you catch that when Alfred is reading the book on child rearing? The author of that child rearing book is Dr. Bartholomew Wolper.
Who is?
Was Joker's therapist in the Dark Knight books.
Nice. I have a feeling you're going to have to like buy this movie and then watch it frame by frame.
Yes. Yes. I was sitting there in the theater and I just kept wanting to pause and lean over and explain to my wife why this is so awesome.
Yeah.
I loved when all of the villains are showing up
mm-hmm.
and It says, and there's British robots. And it's the Doctor Who, it's the Daleks.
Yeah, yeah.
And as soon as the line, it's the British robots, is said, it's followed with, ask your nerd friends.
The fourth wall break there is awesome.
There was the scene at the very beginning where the pilot of the airplane is talking with the Joker, and the Joker is saying how he's, you know, unstoppable, and the pilot says, no, Batman will stop you. And he says, no, this is unstoppable. And he goes, he always stops you. He stops you every other time. He stopped you that time with the two boats.
Yes. I love that.
So the voice of that pilot was the director of the film.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Wow. Can you explain for our listeners? We kind of went brother talk there.
Well, when a film is made, they hire someone to direct, and he's usually an important person, so sometimes he can put his own voice as a character in the film.
Yeah, I meant what the two boats was referencing.
So the two boats is referencing the Joker dilemma of the two boats that each have the choice to blow each other up from the Dark Knight.
Yeah, at the end of the Dark Knight movie. It's awesome. I think we could probably spend a whole other hour just talking Easter eggs. What else do you want to discuss from this movie? I'm sure you've got some other good talking points.
I did notice that for me, there was sort of a meta joke by Absentia that there was no Wild Child. No Wild Child with style in this movie. There was no reference to her. There were no photos of her. There was nothing about her in the mansion. There was nothing about her in the cave. And I loved that because in all the Batman films, it's like as soon as he's done with a girlfriend in one film, he never thinks about her again. He never talks about her again. She's not in any of the other films.
Right.
It's like Kim Basinger, whatever happened? We don't know.
Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
No clue.
No, she took the car. They split up. She got the car. She dug the car. So I just thought the fact that he totally pretended like Wildstyle never happened was right in keeping with his character, which I thought was brilliant.
Yeah.
And I did especially appreciate at the end when he and Joker have to have that moment of admitting how each of them sees their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to the Joker, you complete me.
Right. Right.
Because that's what Heath Ledger's Joker says to Batman in The Dark Knight.
Yeah, I loved that line.
And just the way that if you really wanted to get into the psychology, the fact that Batman watches these movies about relationships when he's alone shows that he does want one.
Even if he's not willing to admit it to himself.
Even if he's not willing to admit it. Even if he laughs at them. He wouldn't keep doing it if part of him didn't want to keep doing it.
Serendipity?
So how did you feel about the final battle?
Final battle. It was okay. It was kids action to me. So it wasn't as if I was just loving it, but it was enjoyable. How about you?
I did like the part where they accidentally made Godzilla shoot Sauron in the eye. And then he just sort of sheepishly back it up.
And he's like talking to himself. Who did that? I don't know. Nothing to see here. Yeah, this is definitely one of those movies that you can go out of the theater and just sit over dinner with friends, like, re-quoting as much of it as you can remember.
Yeah.
Because it's so good.
The fact that they played Prince music in the parade.
Yes.
So, would you like to know what this director is doing next?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
He will be directing a live-action Nightwing.
Ooh. No pressure. You just made the one good DC movie.
So, grow your hair, start working out. I think you should audition.
For what?
For Nightwing.
I don't know about that. They're casting Hispanics now. Yes.
Would you like to know what the Lego movie directors are doing next?
I've seen some ads for stuff that's more like direct to DVD or direct to Netflix, so I'd like to hear what's next on the big screen.
Next on the big screen will be a heartwarming tale of a young man and his big furry dog as they fly a spaceship.
Han Solo?
He's doing Han Solo.
That's wild.
But given the way that these guys can handle a story and deal with a property that's, you know, clearly got a fan base, I think they're a great choice to do the Han Solo film.
Yeah, hands down. I couldn't resist. Dad jokes.
Yeah, well, not all your jokes can land out like you'd hope.
Especially lately in airports. Oh my gosh.
So for the listeners that don't know, Harrison Ford had yet again another small aircraft incident, we'll call it.
The snafu.
Yeah. The funniest thing about that is about 3 days later, there's a picture of Harrison Ford in a helicopter. So he was like, well, my plane license may be suspended. I'm going to try this thing.
People need to start having a talk with him like they do with Lego Batman about how he can't fly anymore.
Yeah.
Just need to dumb it down for him and be like, hey, you're old. Stop putting yourself and golf courses in danger.
Yeah, Harrison, those aren't asteroids. Those are other planes. Those are other planes. We're flying into the airport? Yes. Hey, so I have a question.
Yes.
And I'm going to do this every time to you at the end of every review.
That sounds foreboding, but go on.
As he protects himself for the wedgie.
I've got suspenders that connect my socks to my drawers. You won't get me this time.
Would you watch this again, and would you buy it?
Okay, that's a good question. Would I watch it again? Would I buy it? I would watch it again with you. I probably wouldn't buy it. That's my answer. I really enjoyed it. I think I'd enjoy it even more watching it with you. But it's as good as it was. It's not one that I have to watch again over and over. So I don't think I would watch it more than one more time if I bought it. And that's what I ask myself when I decide if I'm going to buy a movie. So no, probably not. How about you? Since I want to watch it with you and I'm not buying it, no pressure.
with the right friends right now, while it's in theaters, I would see it again in the theater one more time.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes on cable and I can DVR it, I would DVR it and keep it.
Mm-hmm.
And really sit and enjoy and pause and parse through. And just sort of pour over it like I used to pour over the panels of a comic.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
I would give it as a gift. I would buy it and give it as a gift.
Okay, so what you need to do is buy it and give it to me, and then I'll re-gift it. It's a win-win. I'll re-gift it back to you.
It's a win squared. Math. Let's end the episode with math.
Yes, we did it, ladies and gentlemen. Where can you find us if you still want to?
Oh, you have to, because you have to enter the contest.
That's right. Yes, you have to find us on Facebook. Fanboy Friends on Facebook.
I want to see your comic books. I want to see the ones you treasure. I want to see what you want to have framed. So find us on Facebook at Fanbro Friends. Follow us on Twitter at Fanbro Friends, because believe me, I twit.
Yeah, he does. Can they send it to the Twitter if they want instead of the Facebook?
Sure.
Sweet. Yeah, and you can also find me at Sancho Panda VTW.
And iTunes, where you can rate us.
Yes, we'll have to do some kind of super special giveaway for people who rate us as well.
Yeah, there needs to be some name for that. I rate.
Perfect. Nailed it. Done.
Yes.
It's in the can. It's on the can. I'm not sure which.
Oh.
Do you have a battle cry for today?
Ta-na-na-na-na-na-na, bat can. Yeah, I have a battle cry.
Uh-huh.
Iron Man doesn't suck.
I know, right? I still think he was referring to Iron Man 2 and 3.
Although that was one of my biggest laugh-out-loud moments.
And when the whole group gets together at the end?
Yeah.
Iron Man sucks! They're like so happy.
Oh, that sibling billionaire jealousy.
And it's like, he didn't even have to tell it to them, they all knew it. It was like kind of like a moment in a musical, you know, where everyone just starts singing and they all know the lines. Ah, that was beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Oh, and tune in next time when we talk about...
the things we talk about next time.
Logan.
Oh, yes. Say that again.
Yeah.
Let's start over.
And tune in next time when we talk about...
Logan. I was trying to do my Charles Xavier. It ended up turning into Bane. Might as well be Bane, right?
Logan. One of the best X-Men ever created.
One of the most unpolite Canadians.
Sometimes his claws have too much CGI. Admirable, but mistaken.
His claws are adamantium. They were molded by him.
So, tune in for that, everybody, and thanks for coming tonight.
Yay! Bye!
Bye.
Ah. I was going to say something else, though. I interrupted my own thought. Yes! Love when that happens.
We interrupt this thought. Crash.
Oddly, that's not helping. So, do you ship Lego Batman and Lego Barbara?
Do I ship them?
Yeah. Do you root for them to be in a relationship? Do you ship them?
Oh, I didn't know what that meant.
Oh. Sorry.
I was like, through parcel post? Through covered wagon?
It's how the kids talk these days. For instance, do you ship Edward Bella or Edward Jacob? Or Bella Jacob?
Is that a steam engine I hear on the docks?
Oh, man.
Are you
rooting for them to connect? Because Lego?
No, I think they should stay plastic-atonic.